Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, TBC Bible Church, and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you that we are a blessed people. And Father, help me this morning as I share what you've put on my heart, God. It's not me, but it's your word, God. And Father, may we have attentive ears here this morning to what the Holy Spirit has to say to the church. And Father, I pray that each of us, Lord, would consider eternity, and consider our lives, and consider your calling. So, Lord, bless us. Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and honors your holy name, and honors your word. And Father, may you receive the glory, and may the Lord Jesus have the preeminence in all things, and may the Holy Spirit move in and among us. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Bless us, we gather around it, bring glory, and may the fruit that comes forth remain, God, in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What does it mean to be blessed? Are we blessed people? Are you a blessed person? I don't know where the source is unknown, but somebody writes a story. Two friends met each other on the street one day, and one looked forlorn, almost on the verge of tears. And this friend asked, what has the world done to you, my old friend? The sad fellow says, well, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $40,000. Oh, that's a lot of money. But you see, 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never knew died and left me $85,000 clean and free. Sounds to me, you're very blessed. You don't understand, he erupted. Last week, my great aunt passed away and I inherited almost $250,000 from her. Now, my friend was really confused. Then why do you look so glum? This week, nothing. I'm glad you got it. Okay, praise the Lord. Somebody has to wait here this morning. Okay. Does that kind of ring a little bell, though, for some of us? Are we so blessed that we don't enjoy our blessings, or we don't see our blessings? Yeah, we can get to the point where we expect blessings. Never satisfied. One morning, R.C. Chapman, a devout Christian, was asked how he's feeling. He told his friend, I'm burdened this morning, was his reply. But his countenance was happy and he was joyful. And his countenance contradicted his words. So his friend that questioned him said, are you really burdened, Mr. Chapman? Yes, but it's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings which I cannot find enough time and enough words to express my gratitude to God. He said, I'm burdened this morning. And R.C. Chapman added with a smile, I'm referring to Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. Selah means think about it. Pause. Which fully describes my condition. Yes. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Well, look here. Look here in this scripture here. I want to read something here out of Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now just remember that, but set that aside. Don't take it off the shelf. Just keep it before you. And then he says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, as he starts to list all these spiritual riches that we have in Christ, verse 3 just jumps out. It's almost like he's got this inside of him. Now, everything that follows, now, just to let you know how he wrote, in verse 3, all the way down to verse 14, in the Greek, is one sentence. Okay? It's all one sentence. Whew, all the way down. Now, in our English Bible, they put periods in there. Help us break it up a little bit. When Paul was writing this, he just started writing, and it's like, you ever have one thought just come with another thought to that thought, and that thought has another thought, and he just kept writing. It's just one long sentence, all the way down to verse 14. But how does he start out? Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's almost like he's got this inside him, and he just wants to get it out there. He starts to let it. As well as you know, I'm so blessed here, and God has blessed me and been good to me. It's almost like you just feel him just like wanting to shout and just let the world know that he's a blessed man. Now, keep that thought in mind. Keep Paul and that thought in mind. Look at verse 7. In him, this is our verse of the month, we have what? Let's try that again. In him we have what?
Redemption.
Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We're going to look at that verse a little bit more here. But what I want to do, keep these thoughts here in mind. Turn over here to the New Testament. And I want to talk about a lady here. Turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And you're not saved by your feelings, but you better have some feelings about your salvation. Because if you're really saved, you're going to have some feelings about your salvation. You're not saved by your feelings, but you better have some feelings about that. Your feelings don't save you, but your feelings show that you really know God. And if you really are saved. Now, this story here, I want you to look at, there's two people here, actually three. You got a Pharisee, and you got a woman, and you got the Lord Jesus in this story here. And I want to unpack this a little bit here. Verse 36, Luke chapter 7. Then when one of the Pharisees, now, who's a Pharisee? Well, a Pharisee is one that knew the scriptures. They were very moral people. They were like the elite people that knew the Old Testament. They were righteous outwardly. Oh, that's a Pharisee. Then when one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, hey, come on to my house, we're going to have something to eat. I want to talk to you. He went to the Pharisee's house. Now sinners and Pharisees, they all need the Lord. Jesus went to his house. He sat down to eat. And behold, a woman who was in the city, who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at table at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Now, I want to stop right there a minute. Just picture this. Now, Jesus has this engagement with the Pharisees, going to his house. This woman somehow hears about it. And she, in her mind, she's thinking here, I want to go. I want to take this flask of oil. In her mind, she's very purposely going to see Jesus. Now, in the chronology of Scripture, because you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all have different portraits of Christ. It's like they're in four corners and Christ in the center. And each one sees Christ a little differently. But in chronology, in Matthew, it had been just before this, Jesus would get that great invitation, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come unto who? Come unto me. And you shall find what? Rest for your souls. Now, maybe she heard that invitation. Maybe she heard him teach. And whatever she did, she got it. Because we'll see this in just a few minutes. She got the relationship with Christ and forgiveness of sins. And she's thinking, I'm going to go to this house. Now, I want to talk about this house thing here a little bit. How did she get in the house? Well, oftentimes there was courtyards built and there's arches because this is a very dry, arid place. And so it's very open. They didn't have windows like we got here. It's very open. And the meals sometimes are out in the courtyard in the cool of the evening. It's cool. And so she may have just been able to come right in through the courtyard there to where they were eating, just to set a little background here. So she knew Jesus was going to be at this guy's house, this Pharisee's house. She made preparations. She bought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. She stood at his feet behind him. What's that next word? Now, stop right there a minute. Why was she weeping? Why do people cry? There's emotional. There's something going on inside of her. Her feelings are really churning here. Because she's looking at Jesus, and she's at his feet, and she's thinking in her mind. Well, let's go on here. She's got all this feelings inside of her. Behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears. Now, she brought this oil. Now, this is, in those days, because they wore sandals and they travel on dusty roads. And ladies, how many like to have your carpets all dirty with people walking through your house with muddy footprints? You don't like that. There's a story, Abraham Lincoln one time, he did this to his mom. He walked in off the fields with him and his friend, and he walked through the house with muddy feet because she'd always told him, Abe, clean your feet before you come in the house. He walked across the floor, and his friend held him, and he walked up the wall with his feet and then walked up on the ceiling, and his friend dropped him there. So his mom came home. She followed the tracks all the way up the wall and all the way up to the ceiling. That was Abraham Lincoln. He did that to his mom. And they cleaned. And so hospitality in those days was people, before they come in, they would wash their feet. Okay? But she didn't have any water to wash his feet. So her tears, she thought, my tears will do. And then she didn't have any towel to dry. So she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee, who was righteous outwardly, invited him, saw this, he spoke within himself, just thinking, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she is what? What's his assessment?
A sinner.
A sinner. She's a sinner. Now, Jesus observing this, he looks at the woman, he looks at the Pharisee. Looks at the woman, looks at the Pharisees. Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. He said, teacher, say it. A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, another 50. And when they had nothing in which to pay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which will love him more? Which will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. Now, does that sound good? Is the Pharisee doing pretty good? Yeah, it sounds good. Good thinking. Good answer. And he said to him, now, you have rightly judged. And then he turned to the woman and said, Simon, do you see this woman? Now stop right there a minute. Now he did see the woman, but he didn't see the woman. Jesus asked him, do you see this woman? The Pharisee was blinded three ways. He was blind. One, he saw a sinner, the woman. He got that right. She was a sinner, but she was a repentant sinner. He was blind to her repentance. The second thing he was blind to was himself, because he didn't see himself who he really was. Was he a sinner too? Was there two sinners in that room? There was two sinners in that room. So he was blind. Not only did he not see a repentant sinner, but he was blind to his own sin in his own life because he looked down on others. This woman's a sinner, but I am a Pharisee. And he thought so highly of himself. But he didn't realize I can compare myself to other people and make myself look pretty good. But if I compare myself to God, I don't look real good, do I? I don't look real good if I compare myself to God. Who's the standard? Is other people the standard that I judge myself by for my sins? Or is God the standard? God's the standard. Do you measure up to his standards? Have you sinned? But he was blind the third way, because he didn't recognize who Jesus Christ was. Because he said, if this man were a prophet, he already put Jesus way down on the list here. He's no man of God. He wouldn't let this woman touch him if he knew what
kind of woman this was. For she's a sinner. He turned to the woman and said, Simon, do you see this woman? Can people be blind and not know they're blind? Can they be blind spiritually and not know that they're blind? Can they be blind to what's right before them? He turned to the woman and said, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, Simon, and you gave me no water, no act of hospitality, no graciousness to me. You showed none. You gave me no water for my feet, which is typical, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. That was a greeting in those days. They'd kiss each other on the cheek. That was a greeting. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, is that true? Her sins, which are many, are what? Forgiven. Why was she weeping? What did she know in her heart? That God had what? Forgiven her. Did she have some feelings about her forgiveness? Did she want to go back and thank the one that made this possible for her? Did she want to go back and say, Lord, thank you. I'm blessed. And show her gratitude for what he had done for her. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. She came back because she loved the one that gave her eternal life, and she loved the one that saved her from her sin, and she loved the one that had redeemed her. She loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same love what? Little. Here's Simon the Pharisee. Huh, I'm a pretty good guy. Boy, I look pretty good standing beside this sinner. Only thing that blind Pharisee doesn't realize, he's going to stand before God one day. And he's not going to look so good then. Because guess what? God knows your heart. He knows why you did it, what you did it, when you did it, and how you did it, and how long you did it. And you have nothing to say. Because he's got you. He knows everything. Everything. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Is that a statement of deity? Amen. Who can forgive sins but what? God alone. God alone. He looked at her and said, your sins are forgiven. Don't you think that woman didn't go home and say, hallelujah? Don't you think she didn't go home that night and say, praise God, from all blessings flow? And those that sat at table with him began to say to themselves, who is this that will even forgive sins? And he said to the woman, your, what's that next word? Faith. Now, she wasn't saved because she loved, although that was the fruit of her salvation. She was saved because she had what? Faith. Faith. She had the faith and trust. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Is that a great story? Is that a great story? Did that woman have some feelings about what God did for her? Did. Now, keep that in mind. Okay. Now, I want to show you something else here. Okay. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8:11. Okay. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, did you catch that little phrase right there? but the sons or children of what? The kingdom. Wait a minute here. Sons and children of the kingdom? The Pharisee was part of the chosen people of God, those that God had called and separated for themselves. But was that Pharisee that we just looked at, was he a saved man? Did he have faith? He was so blind, he couldn't see a repentant sinner and say in his heart, praise God for this woman that's repented. He couldn't see that because he was using her to stand upon himself to make him look good. He couldn't see his own sin. And he didn't even see the Son of God right in front of him. He was blinded three ways. Now, can it be that the sons of the kingdom, those that are raised in Christian homes, and the mom and the father, and the mom and the dad, they know and love God, and they pray for their kids to come to Christ, and can it be that some of their children reject Christ and go the other way and don't follow Christ and are part of the kingdom of the... And yet they reject it? Now, look at this here for a minute in verse 12. We'll be cast in the outer darkness. In heaven, there's no more need of the sun, for the glory of God will light it. But where these people go, it's utter darkness. You ever been in a dark place, or you ever been in a place where the lights go out and it's just dark, and all of a sudden you're like, you don't know what to do? I mean, you ever try to get across your bedroom and not wake up your spouse and cut on the light and you run into something in the dark? You ever had that happen to you? You ever walked into a door that's left ajar and you think the door is closed and you hit that edge of the door? It's like, you don't know how many G-forces you got till you whack your head on a door that's half open. That happens. That's darkness. Be cast in the outer dark. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, in Appomattox, Virginia, you know, they in the battlefields, they, and probably here in Gettysburg too, they dig and they find all kinds of things left over. You know what they find sometimes? They find bullets that have teeth mark in them. Why would you find bullets with teeth marks? Right, because these men get shot on the battlefield and their legs all torn up and they give them a bullet and you bite on this bullet, we're going to take your leg off. And those bullets they dig up, they have teeth mark in them. That's gnashing of teeth because you're in what? Pain. Turn to look, keep your finger here, turn to Luke 16. We're heading back here, but just turn to Luke 16 for a minute. I just want to emphasize this a little bit because the good doesn't look good until the bad really looks bad. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus, very familiar to us, but I just want to pick this out here. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Is there any mercy in hell? No. Your fate is sealed. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Is there any refreshment in hell? Is there any satisfying? May I dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue? He was hoping for just a drop. I'm in torment in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember, you know what's going to be a painful thing? Not just the physical torment, but how about remembering all the opportunities you had to get saved and you walked by it and you trampled underfoot the Son of God and counted the everlasting covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ as nothing. And you walked right over the cross of Christ in disgust and... You can remember that. You had the chance and you did not take it. Son, remember in your lifetime, you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. What is hell like? It's torment. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. You'll never, no, never, ever get out. No way to get out. So that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor those from here pass to you. He said, I beg you, therefore, Father, send to him to my father's house. I have five brethren, he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. It's amazing. He wants to be an evangelist now, but there's no hope. No hope. So Moses and Abraham said that they have Moses and the prophets. They have the Bible. They have the scriptures. They have the word of God. They are the people of God. They have the spirit of God. They have all these things. No, Father, if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, they don't hear the scriptures. Neither will they be persuaded from one rose from the dead. What is hell like? Do you want to go there? What if God did for you, he said, you are right on the edge of hell, and he said, I'm going to save you and draw you out. Would you be happy? Would you be blessed? Would you be thankful that God saved you from a place like that? Would you be blessed? And I say to you in Matthew 8:11, that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. Do you want to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom? Many will come. Many will come. Heaven's doors are open wide to the repentant sinner. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. Keep that thought. Now, turn back over to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians here for a minute. What's the first word in verse 1 of Ephesians 1? What's the first word? Paul. Was he one of the sons of the kingdom that almost was in outer darkness? Do you understand? He was one that he thought he was going to heaven. But what happened on the road to Damascus? All of a sudden, God saved him. And he got saved. He was one of those that thought he was a children of the kingdom, but he wasn't. And all of a sudden, God saved him and brought him into the kingdom. And so, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, his introductions to the saints. Who's he writing this to? The saints in Ephesus, faithful in Christ Jesus. And he greets them, grace, the Greek greeting, and peace, the Hebrew greeting, from God our Father. And then he says, blessed be the God and Father. He just couldn't wait to tell people what God did for him and how happy he was, that he's a blessed man, that God saved him. Blessed be God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. He just couldn't wait. He was busting open. He wanted to tell these Ephesian people, look what God did for me. I almost was one of the children of the kingdom that was lost, but now I'm saved. He had some feelings about his salvation. Look at verse 7. In him, in Christ, we have what? Redemption. Why? Because of his blood, his sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I have forgiveness of sin, just like that woman whose sins were many. Her sins were forgiven. And she had the peace of God now in her life. According to the riches of his grace. Is that real to you? Is that real? Do you have some feelings about what God did for you? If God did that for you, do you have any feelings like that woman did that just wanted to go and worship him and sit at his feet and just show tears of thankfulness and gratefulness for what he did for her? Do you ever feel like that? You ever say, God, thank you? I'm not ashamed. I've been saved. You ever want to show God gratitude? Why do we get to church on Sunday? We're saying to God, God, thank you for saving me. I want to worship with the saints of God. I want to be here. because you've redeemed me. What a great Savior we have. In him we have redemption through his what? Blood. That's a great Savior. How much does God love us? How much does he love us? He did not spare what? His own son. That's how much he loved us. In him we have redemption through his blood. The riches of his grace. Are you saved by grace? Yes. You absolutely are. Imagine somebody gave you, say like you're $500,000. I met a man one time, and his name was Ron. And he was talking to me, and he said, you know, I used to carry $500,000 debt load. He owned this house, and he was a builder, and he had all kinds of debt. And he said, every night I'd worry, how am I going to pay this $500,000 back? And he said, that was a weight on me. I didn't know what to do. Now, suppose somebody came up to him and said, Ron, I got $500,000 here. I want to write you out a check. I'm writing it out to you. Psst, here it is. Pay your debts off. You're a free man. Sleep well tonight. Now, suppose my friend Ron would say, his friend made him totally debt-free. Could he boast about anything? Could he go around bragging that he had the power and the skill and the brains to reach out and take that check? Could you talk about what a favor he did for your benefactor? You know, I really helped this guy out. I just took $500,000 away from him. I really helped this guy out. Could you say something like that? If you talk like that, what would people think of you? You'd go on a little, wouldn't they? That's what they think. When it says here that, which he, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his what? Grace. God saved you. Not because how good you are, how mighty you are, because he loved you, and it's all of grace. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for what we looked at here today. And Father, Ephesians chapter 1, we are blessed because we have a great Savior. We are blessed because we have a great salvation. And Father, help us never to take that for granted or for not to think about that. Lord, it moved Paul just to burst forth with praise to you, God, in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Lord, we are a blessed people. Father, help us not to miss the blessing of being a son or a daughter of Almighty God. Help us not to miss the blessings of missing hell in the lake of fire. Father, help us to have a pep in our step that we are children of Almighty God who has gone to prepare a place for us, and where you are, there we'll be also one day. So Lord, help us toward this end to realize we're a blessed people. God, may we be like R.C. Chapman that was so blessed, he's so burdened, he didn't know how to thank you enough. So Lord, we're blessed people. Help us to rejoice in the spiritual riches you've given us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Father, may this week, may we honor you, and may we let other people know how blessed we are. And may we not be ashamed of the gospel, and not be ashamed to gather on Sunday morning, and not be ashamed of what you've done for us, God, because you weren't ashamed to hang on that cross publicly for us. So, Lord, help us to be bold and to tell others of the blessings we have in Christ. Father, we're a blessed people. And because we're blessed, we have you, God, for all eternity. So, Lord, may we never lose sight of that. Father, may we worship you humbly and give glory and honor and dominion and power to you, O God, because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.